and welcome to the Ladies Best Life podcast. I hope you're feeling amazing today. Now, I hope you enjoyed last week's episode. I kind of wanted to start there today because last week's episode, as you will have seen, got a little bit emotional. And I've really, since being in Dubai, I've really been like exploring like why I do what I do. Why does it mean so much to me to help as many women across the world? And it felt like the right time to share that with you. And I just wanted to say like, thank you to everybody who has responded and who sent me, you know, meaningful messages off the back of it, whether it be on email or some of you have messaged me on Instagram and Facebook. So I just want to say thank you because I genuinely love chatting to you guys. And this is something that I've noticed over the past couple of weeks as we've been enrolling for Endgame, is that people feel like when they message me, they're wasting my time, or like if they're inquiring, but they don't know if they can afford it, they don't want to jump on a call in case they waste my time. And it's like, you guys do not understand how much it means to me to be able to have conversations with you. It literally is like so enriching to just listen and hear you. But also, if I can be of any help or use at all, it feeds my soul. And yes, okay, that makes it about me. But I think, you know, there's a bit of a stigma attached to coaches having fulfillment and joy and from in, like, I don't know, like just enjoying their work. But I don't know, if you work somewhere else, it seems okay to say that. But because I'm working directly with humans, it seems like it's not. But I'm going to break the fucking mold on that one and say, I really do love it. And it fills me up so much to know that I'm helping you to change your life. And that's obviously what we spoke about a lot last week, is it's not just about getting you to be lighter on the scales. It goes so much deeper than that. And when you come into any of the programs that I do, you'll start to see that and you'll start to really get it and understand it. And I just wanted to start today's live podcast by talking to you about something that came up on a call last week. Now, a lady had been following me for some time. She did one of my free quizzes and she was like, I just don't understand. I don't get how you're going to help me to still eat my favorite foods and lose weight, because all I've ever done is dieted before and I've done a strict diet and I've never been able to not do a strict diet and lose weight. And I was like, well, you're not going to believe it can be done. Like if you were to stand up in front of a judge now at court and be like, I'm going to preach and fully back what Sasha is saying, you'd be like, I can't fucking do it because you've never done it. But what I want you guys to do, I'm going to give you a couple of tips before we go into period health today, but I just want you to look at the people that I do help. Look at their words. Like my girls are so happy to share testimonials. They'll go on videos. Like there's so much stuff that they're prepared to do that they're not chatting shit. Like they're not paid to do these testimonials. Like, and if they can do it, so can you. And something that this lady said that actually really upset me from a sadness standpoint, not anger, but she was like, I did all these things, but then I couldn't maintain it. So I'm the problem. She didn't quite say it in those words, but that's what it was. And I was like, hang on a minute. No, like you training 8 days a week, and there's only 7 days, but like you training like so many times a week and it not fitting into your life is not a you problem. That is whoever prescribed the too high of a plan to you, it's their problem. When you've got a really strict diet, right? And then you can't stick to it once you've achieved your goal, because why would you, right? If it's hard, you're not going to want to do it. Like humans can only do hard for so long. So if you can't stick to it post goal attainment, that is not your fault. The plan has not been modified enough to accommodate your life. That is their fault. Okay. So I just wanted to address that with you and like little things just to help you to at least dip your toe into the way we do things. So we look at behavior change and habit change. Your lifestyle needs to shift to give you energy. Like you can't keep drinking heavily at weekends. I'm talking in excess of a couple of bottles of wine. Like a couple of bottles of wine is absolutely fine. You know, we've had people who've had 3-4 bottles of Prosecco added into their plan every week because that's what they want. But much more than that, we've got an energy cost, right? So it's about looking at, can you just make sure you're doing small little things like 5 a day? Increase your protein, make sure your fiber's coming up, increase your water, get into a good sleep routine, have 3 meals a day. One bad meal can't be followed by another bad meal. We want to try and balance it out a little bit. And all these things together compiled is going to change your lifestyle so that you can still have 20% of whatever the fuck you like, whether that be a glass of Kir Royale, whether that be a brownie, whether that be a packet of crisps, like however much of 20% is. It can be done, but you can't stand for it yet because you haven't done it yet. But one of my favorite terms is stand on the shoulders of giants. And that's what you can start to do here is stand on the shoulders of giants by putting yourself in environments where people are achieving the things that you want to achieve. Like I've recently joined a mentorship program because the impact that the coaches are having that work with this particular mentor is something that I fucking would absolutely love to get to. Like these people are coaching people all over the world. And that's what we want to do. Yes, okay, we've got people in a few different countries right now, which is phenomenal. And I love it. And all the way across the UK, but we want to go further than that. And that's why I've hired the mentor I've got, because I can't do it on my own. I was going to say maybe I could, but it would either take me so long and I'd make so many mistakes along the way, or I wouldn't be able to get there on my own. And I just don't want to waste time. Like the whole reason why we created CC is to help you to not waste time so that you can live your life, right? It's exactly the same with me. If I can shortcut something, if I can get someone's wisdom on something and learn from their lessons and mistakes, like I'd be silly not to. So I just wanted to share that with you because I've loved this week of having so many, or last week even, having so many connection calls with you guys and hearing your stories, what worked for you, what didn't work for you, and any limiting beliefs that come up, because this helps me, because then I can steer my content in a way to help you, even if you don't join. So yeah, thank you for that. So today we're going to talk about period health. Now I just need to start by saying, like, I am not a GP, obviously. I am not going to, like, this is not advice. This is just a few things that I've learned along the way. And it's more about like personal stuff for me. So we are all different human beings. And like some people will feel tired during PMT, other people, it won't bother them. Some people will have really heavy periods and that will kind of like throw off their strength and also their energy because their lack of iron. Other people, it won't bother them. So don't, with everything with me, it's never blanket. Okay. It's never one size fits all. But you need to consider that. However, I'm going to give you a few bits to help you to understand, hopefully a little bit about your cycle. I'm not going to go into the depths of it. I just want to share a few things. So a lot of people come to me and they're like, oh my God, Sash, just before my period, I'm so hungry. Like, what am I meant to do? The thing, your metabolism will speed up just before your period. So allowing yourself an additional 100 to 300 calories per day, maybe 3 days out of your period, is going to be beneficial because your metabolism has sped up, right? So rather than trying to fight it and be like, I said I was only going to have 1500 calories for 3-4 days, allow yourself to come up. And if you can, which I would strongly recommend, stick to highly nutritious food. So rather going down the route of fuck it, like Sasha said, I can have 300 calories. That's pretty much a Mars bar. I'm going to have an extra Mars bar a day. If you want to, that's fine. But if you really want to honor your body and what she needs during PMT, I would choose wholesome, nutritious food. So give that a go and see if it makes any changes. But hopefully by you just understanding, oh, okay, my metabolism has sped up and that's why I'm hungrier. And there's a few other things I'm going to share with you as well that's going to make a bit more sense. That now makes sense. Therefore, I'm not just going to give myself a hard time because I hear so many women that are like, oh, I've got no fucking willpower. I just can't stop eating, using things like that. And it's like, hang on a minute. We're so detached from our bodies. We think it's a brain problem, like willpower, motivation, but actually it's probably a physical response. The same as if you go and do either high intensity cardio, like running or HIIT training and or endurance running or any training like cardio, your hunger hormones spike when you do high intensity or high endurance. So you're going to need more calories, right? And this is why for fat loss, we actually suggest try not to do too much cardio because it's going to spike your hunger. Whereas if you do steps and keep it fairly gentle, it's not going to spike you as the same that it would be if it was proper intense cardio. So the next thing that I want to share with you is that progesterone goes up after you ovulate. So roughly around day 14, your progesterone will go up, which means that your core temperature goes up. When our core temperature goes up, our hunger and our cravings will also increase. Like I hope now you're going, oh my God. So not only have I got my metabolism speeding up, but my temperature has gone up as well because of the progesterone rising. So that means that oh my God, that's why I'm craving more. That's why I've got cravings. It now makes sense. So as progesterone rises, so that's a hormone, as progesterone rises, another hormone called estrogen drops. Estrogen, it does a little job of like suppressing appetite, whereas progesterone rises in. So can you see like why now PMT is not just this random elusive thing that's going on? It's actually like so many physical changes are happening, which all have a knock-on effect onto each other. So the metabolism has sped up. Progesterone has gone up, which means that your core temperature rises. And as progesterone rises, estrogen drops. So the thing that would have suppressed our appetite has now dropped down, and the thing that increases it has risen up. And then if that's not enough to think, oh my goodness, no wonder I'm going through these cravings, serotonin takes a hit as well. And when our serotonin drops down, that's when we are maybe a bit more sensitive. We're prone to mood swings. Like, you know, if you get a bit irritable when you're in PMT, that's because your serotonin has dropped as well. And this can also lead to additional cravings. So can you now see they're stacking up, right? Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm PMT, I will generally crave chocolate and carbs. So chocolate can be for like many like different reasons, but our magnesium can drop quite a lot when we're coming into PMT phase, right? So it's a really good idea to look at trying to supplement with magnesium. I do it personally right the way throughout my cycle, but especially so during your like PMT and throughout your period, because this is going to help you to manage those sugar and sweet cravings, right? And also if we think about when we're looking at the serotonin dropping. So when serotonin drops, your body can sometimes be looking for a way of increasing serotonin, and carbs increase serotonin. So it can sometimes be that it's a like a comfort thing, like you get a lot of comfort from it, from having like some bread or stuff like that. But actually, it could be your body's way of communicating to you that we need more serotonin. So therefore it's going to send out signals and you're going to crave the things that that raise and bring up serotonin. And carbohydrates is one of those. So I'm hoping now you're able to put the pieces together a little bit more. So we've got things that are speeding up and increasing, which will make us hungrier, make our core temperature rise up. So that's going to make us have more cravings. We've also got the things that would once upon a time bring the appetite down. That is dropping. So obviously the appetite is going up. And then like looking at the carb side of things, we are needing a little bit more serotonin and the body's going to try and get that in. So I hope you're still with me on this, because it's not as simple as some of the podcasts I've done before. But I want to just, now that you can hopefully understand a little bit of the pieces of the puzzle which are moving around, I now want to give you just a few little simple tips that I do. So I break it down from the day that I finish my period. That's when I'm like, right, I'm now in doing mode. I can now start to do more stuff in this phase because hormones have started to come back down to where they were pre-period. So things are starting to balance out in my favor a little bit more now. So estrogen is going to start to rise, metabolism is going to settle back down. So hunger, cravings, all those wonderful things are back to where they, not where they should be, because it should be, it's a cycle, right? It's going to fluctuate every single month, but back to where I find, and a lot of the women I work with find it much easier to manage your kind of like hunger and stuff like that. So from the day that I finish my period, that is my doing phase for roughly about 2 weeks. I know I'll want to be more sociable here. I can usually lift more in the gym. I will feel like I recover quicker as well. So you may experience these things as well. Now, just over, so probably about 4, 5, maybe 6 days after I've ovulated, and I track my cycle using my Oura ring. And I would recommend you guys at least track it on something like Flow or Clue, because it just helps you to understand like, oh, okay, I'm feeling a bit sassy. Check the app. Oh, I'm coming up to PMT. This could be why. So once I've gone over the hump of kind of like ovulation, I know that the things that I talked about earlier, so progesterone rising, metabolism speeding up, serotonin taking a hit as well, that I'm probably going to need to shift gear down a bit. And it doesn't happen every time. It's not like it's clockwork. So every I don't know, what could it be? Like every 16th day of my cycle, that's when I need to change gear. It doesn't work like that for me. And I know for some of you it will. I just try and be a bit more in tune with my body. Like if I'm feeling a bit more tired, I'm not training as hard or not recovering as well, I will be like checking with where I'm at. And usually not long after ovulation, that's when I'm going to start to go, okay, I'm going to shift gear. I'm going to reduce my social calendar. I'm going to reduce anything that's like a lot of work. So I generally don't like to do too much filming and stuff like that when I'm coming towards PMT, because I just feel a bit more tired and a bit more groggy. And it's not always the same, but I give myself a bit more space. And I got the second part of my cycle, so coming up to PMT and into my period, that's when I will generally start to go more into being. So earlier nights, watch a bit more TV, just chill a bit. And I think, like, as women these days, there's so much pressure just to continue to keep doing, regardless of where you're at in your cycle. We don't give ourselves the chance to honor where our body truly is at. And we just keep going, going, going. And this is one of the most powerful things that we will teach, is allowing our ladies to understand their bodies to a greater degree, so that they can adapt their expectations and not feel like they're constantly failing because they can't meet the too high expectations for where they're at in their cycle. So you want to start looking at doing a few things, like increase your calories a few days before your period, 100 to 300 calories. It's not much, okay? 100 to 300 calories is not much at all. It's an apple and a banana, potentially. It's a piece of toast with butter on. Like, it really isn't much, but just allowing yourself to have those extra calories can sometimes keep the massive like swings of like cravings of and overindulging at bay a little bit. Like I just said as well, one thing that I would recommend as you're coming into your being stage of your cycle, so just coming up to PMT, allow yourself to sleep more. Go to bed earlier. Stop watching your favorite Netflix thing and then falling asleep and then waking up and then going to bed. And because you've slept a little bit already, you're now wide awake. Just take yourself to bed earlier. Nurture yourself. Like, your body needs some support right now. So allow yourself to sleep a little bit more. Maybe you would always get up and train in the morning. That still might be a good thing for you to do. But if you feel like you're dragging your ass out of bed, let yourself sleep. Do a lunchtime walk instead. Like, adapt your expectations, because that 1 week of adapted expectations is not going to cause you to gain a load of weight. But if you're constantly battling with yourself, you're going to have inflammation, and then you're going to probably be packing yourself full of caffeine. So then you're like spiking yourself up. And if you've got sugar in there as well, you're spiking yourself up and you're dropping back down. So try and do things a bit differently and see how things go. So allowing these changes, subtle changes, a bit of magnesium coming into the system, maybe allowing for extra carbohydrates as you're coming into PMT, increase your sleep, increase your calories by 100 to 300 for only a few days. It doesn't need to be long. And also looking at, like, maybe you need to change your training during that week. Do we need to add in an additional yoga and remove maybe one of the high intensity classes or a spin class? Give yourself a bit of a capacity to do things a little bit differently. And I promise you, you're going to feel different as you're going through your cycle. It's going to feel easier. You're going to feel more at peace. You're going to be less snappy. And as well, if you are honoring your body's kind of like needs in regards to extra calories, but keeping it good, high quality, regular meal times, and mastering and managing your energy, you probably will find you crave the sugar less. So there is a way to make your cycle less impactful, but it's not in the way that you probably think it will be, as in just muscle your way through. You have to learn to do things slightly differently. So I hope that's been helpful today. If you need to go back through it, because there was a lot of like, if this goes up, then this comes down, and this goes up, then go back and give it a listen, write some notes down. And if you're unsure about absolutely anything, then just hit me up and I will be more than happy to talk you back through it. Have an incredible day, and we'll speak to you very soon.